This evening I bring to you the Word of God from the book of Acts, chapter 20, a very familiar chapter, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing from the Lord this building is for Reformation Church here in Elizabeth, Colorado. And also for the Presbytery of the Dakotas, and for the whole Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and for the Universal Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. When one congregation rejoices, all the Church of God rejoices too. Your brothers and sisters throughout the Presbytery of the Dakotas and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church rejoice with you, saints of Reformation Church, this evening, as we give thanks to God for providing you such a lovely and suitable building. Why do you need a church building? What is its purpose? Why has the Lord provided this beautiful facility for Reformation Church here in Elizabeth, Colorado, in Elbert County? God has given this church building in order that His people might have a place to gather to worship Him publicly. God has given this building in order that the gospel of the free grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ may be preached here. God has given this building in order that no part of His holy word be neglected, but that His ministers shall give to the whole Scripture that due reverence that will exhibit its breadth and its majesty. God has given this building in order that sinners will be converted to God, and in order that Christ, the great King of the Church, the Shepherd of the sheep, may gather and build up and strengthen His people through the whole counsel of His matchless word. God has given this building for the fellowship and the service of the people of God to one another and to the world. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul addresses the elders of the church in Ephesus, in Asia Minor, for the last time in person. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. He does not know what will happen to him in Jerusalem, but he does know that the Holy Spirit of God testifies in every city that chains and tribulations await him in Jerusalem. Then Paul says in our text in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these foreboding things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, so that I may finish the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Compared with God's calling of preaching the gospel, Paul did not count even his life dear to himself. Paul highly valued his life. He loved the life that God had given to him. He loved his work. He knew that his own life was so important for the churches and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, "To remain in the flesh is more needful for you." The Apostle Paul was not weary of life. He was not an ungodly person who could lightly fling away his life in sport. He valued life, for he prized time. Time is the stuff that life is made of. He redeemed each day and hour because the days are evil. In our text, the Apostle Paul soberly said to the elders of the church in Ephesus that he did not regard his life as a dear thing compared with testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul looked at his life as a race, as a course that God gave him to run. The more quickly you run a race, the better. The goal is to reach the end of the course. That's how Paul viewed his life. He spent all of his energy pursuing the great objective of his life, fulfilling the ministry the Lord Jesus Christ gave him to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He valued his life as a means to that end. Lord Jesus Christ had entrusted Paul with the sacred deposit of the gospel and the ministry to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul resolved to be faithful in what Jesus had entrusted to him, even though it should cost him his life. In his mind, Paul saw the Savior with his pierced hands and wounded side, holding the priceless heavenly jewel of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ, and saying to Paul, "I have redeemed you with my blood. I have called you by my name. And now I commit this precious ministry into your hands, that you may take care of it, that you may guard it with your life's blood. I commission you to go everywhere as my servant and to make known to the Gentiles, to every people under heaven, the gospel of the grace of God." God has not called any of us to be apostles. And God has not called all of us, or even many of us, to the public preaching of the Word of God. But God has called all of us to be prophets, priests, and kings unto Him. God has called all of us to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, and to shine the light of the truth of the Word of God on earth. God has called every one of us to serve Him and His people. This means that our life is a race. God has called each one of us to live the gospel and to testify to the gospel of the grace of God in our lives and in the words that we speak. Paul was leaving his weeping brothers and going to face trials of unknown intensity. He was completely unmoved by fear. And he went on his way to Jerusalem, trusting in the Lord Jesus who had called him to this ministry. What is this gospel for which Paul was willing to lay down his life? Not everything called gospel is worth dying for. There are many gospels for which I would not die. They're not worth your life because they're not the gospel of the grace of God, but the deceptive gospel of sinful man's work. Many churches today are changing the gospel for which the Old Testament prophets died. And our fathers in the early church died. And our fathers in the Reformation died. and for which Christ's faithful servants today are dying as we speak. The true and only gospel of the grace of God consists of indisputable facts which are revealed to us in the Bible alone. Believers hug this gospel of the grace of God to their hearts, to their soul's life. This gospel continues to this day to stir the heart of every true believer and to command sacrifice. All through history, God's people have met together to hear this gospel of the grace of God at the peril of their lives. Godly men have faithfully proclaimed it to wicked tyrants and suffered the loss of all things. They went to prison and to death for it while singing psalms. Here in Reformation Church and in all the churches of our presbytery and in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, we want only the true gospel of the grace of God preached to us as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ and His infallible revelation. What is this gospel that Paul valued before his own life? He calls it the gospel of the grace of God. The only true gospel is a message of God's grace and of God's grace alone. Grace is the essence of the gospel. Grace is the one hope for this fallen world. Grace is the sole comfort of saints looking forward to heaven. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Let me explain how the gospel is the good news of God's grace to sinners. The gospel is God's announcement that He deals with guilty sinners on the basis of His free grace and pure mercy. There'd be no good news in saying that God is just and will punish sin and reward perfect righteousness, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. On the ground of God's perfect justice, we must perish under the just judgment of God in hell for all eternity. But it is good news of the best kind that the judge of all the earth is prepared to pardon transgressions and to justify the ungodly. It is good news to us who are poor, naked, blind, and sinful people that the Lord will blot out our sin, that He will cover us with His own perfect righteousness, that He will receive us as His dearly beloved people, and not on account of anything that we have done, not on account of anything that we will do, not on account of anything that we are or that we can be, but only out of His own rich and sovereign grace through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though we are all guilty and most justly condemned for our sins, yet God in Christ removes the curse of His law and gives us all of the blessedness of righteous men, women, and children as an act of His pure mercy. David speaks of this in Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. This is a message worth dying for. Through the covenant of God's grace, God is just and yet the justifier of every person who repents of his sin and believes in Jesus. God is the righteous judge of all men, and yet by His grace, He freely justifies those who believe through the redemption that is in Christ. God is merciful and gracious and ready to bless the most unworthy. This is the most amazing the most wonderful news worth every one of us spending 100 lives to tell it to all the world. My heart leaps within me as I proclaim it in this building and tell the penitent, desponding, the burdened, the weak, the hurting, the despairing, that though their sins deserve God's wrath, the sovereign grace and tender love of God can give them heaven and make them fit to dwell with Him forever. Completely independent of their character or what they deserve. Because the Lord has said in both Old and New Testaments, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Therefore, there is hope for the most hopeless. Since it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but it is of God who shows mercy, there is an open door. A door of hope for those who otherwise with despair. Does this gospel of the free grace of God not give you holy excitement? I can understand your being willing to give your life that you might tell it to fellow sinners that God's grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. But the gospel tells us much more than this. In order that God might justly deal with men according to the riches of His mercy, God gave His only begotten Son to meet all the demands of God's law through His death on the cross in your place and mine. The Father appointed Jesus to stand in our place, to bear our sin and endure the chastisement we deserve. Prophet Isaiah states this so clearly in Isaiah chapter 53. God has saved us without setting aside His holy law, without revoking the penalty that sin deserves. Jesus has suffered the strictest justice, and yet the abundant grace of God pardons sinners. The debtor is loosed because the debt is paid. Behold, our dying Savior, as He hung on the cross at Calvary. And hear the prophet Isaiah say, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Everything is of God's grace. Brothers and sisters, it was the grace of God that He accepted the atonement of Jesus in our place, and that He provided that atonement at His own cost. That's the wonder of it. He who was offended provides the reconciliation. He had but one son. He sent His only begotten Son to take to Himself a true human nature, our flesh and our blood, that He might die on the cross in our place, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. We admire Abraham giving up his only son Isaac to God. How much more we should admire the Lord giving up His Son for sinners. Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the gospel of the grace of God, that God is able with perfect justice to save sinners by the riches of His pure mercy, completely apart from their sins or their merits, because their sins were laid upon His dear Son, Jesus Christ, who has fully satisfied God's justice. God is glorious in holiness and yet rich in mercy. This gospel is worth preaching in this building. In the gospel, God reveals a motive for His mercy and His grace. His motive for dealing with men by His free and sovereign grace is to reveal His own glorious character and His attributes. He works the wonders of His grace for reasons in Himself. He deals with guilty men according to His sovereign will, His eternal counsel, and His everlasting love to the praise of the glory of His grace in which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. God saves sinners in order that He might magnify and extol and exalt His own Beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and honor the Holy Spirit in recreating rebellious sinners according to the image of God in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. You who feel your guilt, God saves guilty sinners for the sake of His own glory. There is light for those who sit in the darkest gloom of despair. Just as you are, return to the Lord and He will have mercy on you. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God will receive you graciously and love you freely. The Lord says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. For Christ's sake alone, not because of any sufferings, tears, or works on your part, the Lord will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to Jesus just as you are. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, and He will forgive all your sins. The Lord says to you, do not look within yourself as though you have any merit, but look unto Me and be saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I am both your strength and your salvation. For when you were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The gospel invitation is, in the words of Isaiah 55, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come. Buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come to Jesus, you who are lame, you who are poor, you who are blind and naked, you who are wandering, foul, miserable. The Lord graciously calls you, not because you are good, but because you're evil. Not because you are hopeful, but because you are hopeless. The gospel of God's grace, the gospel is of God's grace because it is directed to those whose only claim is their need. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Come, therefore, you who are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, you outcasts, you who deserve hell, come and welcome. For I proclaim the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace with God's own authority here in this place. This gospel is so blessed that it is worth laying down our life. It is worth pouring out our blood to proclaim it and to spread it to the ends of the earth. How can I, an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner, be forgiven? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You cannot be saved by any good works that you do or any good feelings that you have. Only Christ, by the working of His Holy Spirit, can save you through the washing of regeneration through working repentance and faith in your heart. Repentance unto life is grieving for and hating our sins, turning from them unto God, laying hold of His mercy in Jesus Christ, purposing and endeavoring to walk with God in all the ways of His commandments. Faith, saving faith, true faith, is believing all that God reveals in His Word. It is accepting, receiving, and resting upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. John chapter 1, verse 12, "For as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name." If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are saved from sin. Paul writes in Galatians, "Salvation is of faith, that it might be of grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed." Faith is the gift of God. The Holy Spirit works faith in us. The gospel of the grace of God is that God will keep His people until the end. He says, "I give unto My sheep eternal life. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." Jesus says, "My sheep shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of My hand." You have no claim upon God's grace at all, nor do I. His free grace comes to you and to me. The Spirit gives you faith to receive Christ. You are saved forever. I say it again. The gospel of God's grace is so glorious and so worth preaching and testifying to that we can understand the words of Paul in our text, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, so that I may finish the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." When it comes to pure mercy, no one can possibly make a claim. In fact, no claim exists. No claim can exist. If it is of God's grace, it is not of debt. And if it is of debt, then it is not of grace. If God wills to save one man and wills that another perish in his own willful sin, we do not dare dispute with God, for God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He wills He hardens. Man's pride revolts against the sovereignty of God. Man revolts against the sovereignty of God's grace. None of your goodness can recommend you to God, but also no evil can shut you out from the grace of God. God can save a sinner no matter how guilty you are. He saves even the chief of sinners. God's grace is greater than all our sins. God's grace is greater than the worst sins of men. The gospel of God's free, rich, and sovereign grace is worth preaching, worth listening to, worth living for, and worth dying for. God has not called us to die for the gospel yet. And therefore, let us make sure that today we live for the gospel of God's grace. How can we live for the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ? First, we must have received it from God, and we must have received a call to minister it or to live it and testify to it. We must be bound to hold and live this gospel, not so much because we chose it, but because God has chosen us. Wherever the Apostle Paul went, he testified to the gospel of God's grace. The gospel of the grace of God should always be preached from this pulpit in this building. God calls every one of us to testify to the gospel of His grace. You do not need to be able to speak well. in order to testify to the gospel of the grace of God to those around you, or even in your own family? The Apostle Paul was not a great speaker, but when he was weak in himself, then he was strong, for the power of Christ rested upon him. The weakness of Paul and of you and of me to testify to the gospel of the grace of God makes it clear that man's faith is not by the wisdom of man, but by the power of the living God. Brothers and sisters, all who believe are qualified to go and tell others where we live, where we work, and wherever we go, the gospel of the grace of God. To testify to the gospel means to bear personal witness to the truth of God. Paul was especially qualified to testify to the gospel of God's grace. When Paul testified to the gospel, he often told the story of how he fiercely persecuted the church of God. One day he traveled on the road to Damascus to persecute believers in Jesus Christ. Members of the church of God. God suddenly appeared to him and struck him to the ground. Paul had never asked to be saved by grace. He did not freely will to serve Jesus Christ. He had a very strong will against Christ. And he was carrying men and women bound to prison. He was compelling them to blaspheme. And he was seeking their death. Paul testified to the gospel of the grace of God when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and following, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. You can tell of your conversion. You can let people know how the free and sovereign grace of God came to you when you were not looking for it. You can live every moment of every day of your life with humility and thanksgiving that God saved you through Christ by his great grace. That testifies to the grace of God and the gospel. Paul also often testified how the gospel of God's grace comforted him when he had been stoned, when he was falsely accused, when he was mistreated and maligned. The Lord upheld him, and the gospel of God's grace comforted his soul. Paul often testified of his heavenly joys, how the Lord had lifted him up exceedingly and made him to triumph in Christ by feeding upon the gospel of the grace of God. Paul testified to his personal experience of the power of the gospel of God's grace in his life, changing his heart and turning him to serve the King of Kings. By testifying to the gospel of God's grace, Paul spread the gospel to people wherever he went. If the gospel of God's grace has not changed your life, do not testify to it. But if the gospel and the whole word of God's grace has changed your whole life, if it has lifted you up from the darkest pit and made you to sit in the heavenly places in Christ, if it is your meat and your drink every day, if it is the heart and soul and center of your life, if it makes you die to yourself more and more so that you might put on Christ and live unto Him, if it is the only thing that brings the righteousness of God to a wicked world, if it is the light of your innermost heart, the core of your being, then testify to it wherever you go and make men know that even if they reject it, it is to you the power of God unto salvation and will be the same to every person who believes. In closing, let me remind you of some reasons why we should live and die to make known the gospel of the grace of God in this building and wherever you go each day of your life. First, because it is the only true gospel in the world. It is worth walking miles to hear the gospel of the grace of God. And there are people who do it. It is worth standing under the shade of a tree to hear the gospel of the grace of God. And people do that. The gospel of God's grace is the only thing that can feed the souls of men. It is the only thing that can conquer the great evils and abominations that we see all around us today. It is the only thing that can subdue the hardened hearts of unbelief in men. Man's gospel and man's word starve the flock of God until they forsake the pasture of God and treat the ministry of the word of God and the public worship of God with utter contempt. The gospel of God's grace is the only thing that can cheer a man's heart in the midst of his labor, and give him hope under a sense of his own sin. As the thirsty need water, so man needs the gospel of the grace of God. There's only one gospel of the grace of God. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Therefore, always preach the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ from this pulpit, lest men die for lack of the knowledge of it. Second, preach the gospel of God's grace because it exalts God's glory. It lays the sinner low. It makes man nobody, but God all in all. It sets God on His throne and humbles sinful man in the dust. And then it sweetly leads men in humility and thanksgiving to worship and reverence the God of all grace, who passes by transgression, iniquity, and sin. Therefore, bow low before the Lord this evening in thanksgiving that He has called you to Himself and provided this wonderful building for this congregation, and go from this place tonight to spread the gospel of God's grace. Testify to it wherever you go in all of your life. And this way you will glorify the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. The triune God has committed the gospel of His grace to His church, to the ministers of His word, and to you and me. Hold it fast as you have received it. Do not give in to the ideas and the inventions and the temptations of men, but hold fast the truth of God as you have received it. Jesus commands every one of us, go and proclaim My word. For I have other sheep. We're not yet of My fold. You must be brought in. And you have brothers and sisters that are still lost in their sins, and I must bring them home to My church, to My flock, to My pasture. What is your answer to your Lord, who has so graciously given us Himself and His gospel and His church, and now this church building here in Elizabeth, Colorado? Your answer should be, Lord, I will live for You. I will make You known. I will die for You, if necessary, to fulfill the calling You have given me to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The great preacher and teacher of God's Word, the great theologian and reformer of the church in the 1500s, John Calvin, said about Acts chapter 20, verse 24, all the godly, and especially ministers of the Word, ought to be composed in their minds like this, so that setting aside everything else, they may hasten to obey God in the right course of action. All who do not have the Lord superintending their course are wandering. The conclusion is that the calling of Paul is for each one of us the pattern for right living. And in fact, the only way we may be sure that what we do is approved by the Lord is if our lives are ordered according to His will. This certitude is particularly required in the ministers of the Word so that they may not undertake anything without Christ as the originator. Brothers and sisters, if you boldly proclaim the gospel, gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. He has promised it. If the gospel of the grace of God is fully preached, it cannot be so. Listen to what the Apostle John saw and recorded for us in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. You see that angel? Look at what follows. Close behind him flies another heavenly angel, another heavenly herald. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Everyone, every person, and every system that opposes itself to the grace of the Lord God Almighty shall be destroyed. And the Lord Jesus Christ shall be all in all. I pray that God will stir you up to testify to the gospel of His grace for His name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for the gospel of Your grace. We thank You that You have called us to believe it, to obey it. We thank You that You have called us to preach it. We are ministers of the Word of God. We thank You that You have called us all to live it and to testify to it wherever we go. It is all of grace. It is the only way in which sinners can be saved. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Father, may this gospel be proclaimed in this church, in this building that you have provided. And may every member of it, and all of your people in the Presbytery of the Dakotas and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and in your whole universal church, not count their life dear, but run the race, the course that you have given to each one of us, and fulfill the calling, the ministry that you have given to us to testify to the gospel that is your power unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hear us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.